Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Super Bowl champion Chris Canty. And Chris, it is Tuesday of our nice in-between week here. We thought we'd be able to draft a little bit more coming off the divisional round that we had, maybe even get a little peek ahead at conference championship weekend. But it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because the news had other plans for us today here. And we saw, courtesy of the NFL Network, that Sean Payton, the now former head coach of the New Orleans Saints, would be stepping away at this time, according to sources. There's a press conference scheduled for, I believe, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central, that we'll get plenty dialed in on here. But Chris, this one for Sean Payton, I know immediately for me, and I'm sure for a lot of people, when they saw Sean Payton stepping away, Jerry Jones had been a little mum on the future of Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of people immediately wanted to make those two pieces fit together.
Yeah, because you wanted to connect the dots. You know that Sean Payton is the coach that Jerry Jones covets. Ever since Sean Payton was the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys under Bill Parcells, he wants him for his long-term plan for the Dallas Cowboys, but in the short term represents an upgrade in terms of a coach that he believes can bring a championship to Dallas. So I understand why a lot of people would connect those dots. But Gojo, this is a situation where we knew that there was something coming down the pike. We heard a couple of days ago, owner Gail Benson said that Sean Payton was noncommittal on his future. And then we got word that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, their general manager, met for hours yesterday. And we really didn't have any insight as to what went on in that meeting. And now with the news from the NFL Network today, we're getting, you know, a glimpse of what's going on for the foreseeable with the New Orleans Saints. And so if you're a Saints fan, today has to be a tough day when you look at the entirety of the picture, just because you're in salary cap hell, you don't have a quarterback, and now it seems like you're missing out on one of what everybody would consider a top four coach in the entire league. And so it's going to be tough for the Saints moving forward, but the question is now what happens to Sean Payton. And I think one of two things is going to be the outcome. Either he's going to ride off into the sunset, a cushy job with one of the networks talking about football, or Sean Payton has a bigger play in mind in switching teams and potentially going to the Dallas Cowboys, because that's the team that I think, if he were to leave New Orleans, would be the only place that he would want to go.
Yeah, Chris, I'm 100% with you on that. This one seems like Cowboys are bust. I don't even know if it'd be worth putting odds up for any other team at this point. The timeline of how that happens, because I could very easily see in all this, Chris, a gap year on television, like you said, go out there and enjoy one of those nice jobs where anyone will bend over backwards for Sean Payton. Like you said, one of the best and brightest, a guy who has spent the better part of his coaching career in one of the best quarterback and coach tandems we have seen with him and Drew Brees here. But this is really a pretty easy picture to see why now, right? Sean Payton had his star quarterback retire last year. He went into this season with Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, their draft pick Ian Book, and a little bit else. And every part of that quarterback experiment came back with the results negative. It just didn't look the way it was supposed to. Jameis Winston's injury obviously played a factor in that. But even before that, we weren't seeing the kind of returns that would have a coach staring down a team that's probably $75 million over the cap into that quarterback room and say, that's a situation I want to stick around for. So he understood to me, Chris, this seemed to make a pretty easy amount of sense timing-wise based on that picture.
No doubt, and it's hard to win in this league without a quarterback. When Sean Payton had Drew Brees over the course of the last 5 years, the team was first in the division, and you're talking about them being able to make a run in the playoffs. When you don't have Drew Brees and you have to settle for a stopgap option, you end up being a mediocre team right around 500 and missing out on the postseason. So that's the reality of life in the NFL. If you don't have a quarterback, then you're going to be in purgatory. And I think what exacerbates the issue for the New Orleans Saints is that they have a lot of cap issues with some of their higher paid players. So I think New Orleans long-term, I mean, in the short term, is going to have to strip this thing down. Mickey Loomis is going to have the tough task of being able to, of having to be able to restructure these contracts or to release certain guys in order to create salary cap relief, and then being able to bring back assets that they can then rebuild this roster and infuse some young talent that's more importantly controllable when it comes to your salary cap allocation. So that's what's on the horizon for the New Orleans Saints. But I think the fascinating part about this is Jerry Jones being mum on Mike McCarthy's future. And now I think with this news today, we're getting some insight as to why. Jerry Jones was waiting to see what was going to happen with Sean Payton before he made a firm commitment to Mike McCarthy in the future. Forget about what Stephen Jones said last week on the radio. Forget about what Mike McCarthy says when he gets in front of a microphone. His job isn't safe until Jerry Jones says it is. And so I think that's the biggest issue moving forward, is the timeline and when that potential union can happen between Sean Payton and Jerry Jones. It doesn't feel like it's likely because Sean Payton is under contract through 2024. And so if he were to become the Cowboys coach in 2022, that would involve a trade. And you know, the asking price would be astronomical for that. So I think those are the dynamics that are at play, and that's what's ultimately going to determine how long Mike McCarthy sticks around as the Cowboys head guy.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Kenny Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So again, that's all starting to get the wheels turning now, because we had the announcement that Sean Payton, the Saints head coach, would be stepping down. The press conference is coming up in a little under an hour, but right now we head to the hotline to talk to our ESPN Saints reporter, Mike Triplett, who joins us now. And Mike, I'm sure this has been a hectic afternoon, but just starting with the simplest way here, how big of a surprise was this to folks down there in the know?
Well, I mean, obviously this has been in the wind for a number of days and you know, on background for a couple of weeks as an idea that's been out there. I think Sean Payton himself, and certainly the Saints, though, thought, you know, maybe after he took a couple weeks off after this really grueling and draining season, that maybe he'd feel refreshed and ready to go again. But obviously with the final confirmation today, he never reached a place, you know, he stayed in that place where he was ready to take a step back. And that's what it's been described to me all along. I think this has all been a decision about taking time away, not even necessarily retiring, but wanting to take a step back, take a year off. I don't think this is a play to get traded and hired immediately somewhere else. Now, that could ultimately happen. It could be a year away and you know, he's the hottest name on the market if he's refreshed and re-energized and ready to go again next year. But I don't think that's what we're seeing right now. I do think we could see him on TV maybe this year. I know he'll be a hot commodity if that's the route he decides to go. But I think this was more about, you know, the season draining on him, 16 years in New Orleans taking their toll, and him ready to take a step back.
Mike, this becomes the ninth coaching vacancy in the National Football League this offseason. Now, given the salary cap issues that the Saints are going through, how attractive is this job going to be?
Well, I do think it's attractive. I disagree a little bit that there's an imminent strip it down coming for this team. The salary cap does look daunting, but that's how the Saints have kind of always managed their salary cap. A lot of these things are roster bonuses that are going to be converted to signing bonuses. That $75 million will be, you know, under the cap, you know, without even having to cut a player, really. Now, it's not the smartest way to do it. It's like borrowing credit card on the future credit card, but that's how they've always done it. This is not a team that has to cut players. Now, it is going to be hard. We just put our list of free agents out, and they have two of the top seven free agents in the league, and left tackle Tron Armstead and safety Marcus Williams. It's going to be hard to keep both those guys. They obviously have to identify their quarterback, although I would not rule them out going big there too, being in the Russell Wilson market or considering all options. But obviously they could also re-sign Jameis Winston and Teddy Bridgewater. And I also think they're going to stay in win-now mode, though, because this is still a team not like it used to be structured, but it's still built to win now with that defense. Some of their stars are in their 30s, DeMario Davis, Cameron Jordan, a running back like Alvin Kamara. You know how long primes last for running backs. This collection of talent that they have, you know, was really close to being a playoff team this year with every injury you could imagine. A healthier team, putting a couple more pieces together, I think they would absolutely think they're in contention to win the division again this year. But you're right that long-term, there does need to be some rebuilding taking place in the meantime.
ESPN Saints reporter Mike Triplett with us on Canty and Golic Jr. Of all those you just mentioned, with this in mind now, Sean Payton stepping down, what becomes the most important move the Saints need to make first and foremost this offseason?
Well, it's either identifying the coach or identifying the quarterback, which unfortunately you don't want to be doing both of those at the same exact time. But let's just say, for instance, they will do a full coaching search, and they will consider all options, a fresh voice, an overhaul of the coaching staff, obviously. But this coaching staff just did, you know, a pretty good job, actually, when you consider, you know, the hurricane evacuation, losing Drew Brees and all the players they did. That defense was phenomenal. I think Dennis Allen will be a top candidate. The offense has been really good for a long time under Pete Carmichael. They've got some really good assistants in Chris Richard and Ryan Nielsen, among others. I think there would be, you know, some desire to keep this staff together, whether that means a different head coach and keeping some assistants or just promoting someone like Dennis Allen. And then if they do that, obviously quarterback becomes the number one priority. And they have some options. They could, like I said, go for Russell Wilson or a big splashy move, or two free agents they're very familiar with in Jameis Winston and Teddy Bridgewater, who's back on the market, that wouldn't cost as much to acquire. But those are obviously the two top priorities.
So, Mike, if you're having your crystal ball out right now, who are some of the prospective candidates that the Saints and Mickey Loomis would be interested in talking to?
Yeah, like I said, I would think the house money is on an in-house promotion, Dennis Allen or Pete Carmichael or Aaron Glenn, actually, who's been getting some interviews
that
came up under Sean Payton before he got that defensive coordinator job in Detroit. But obviously they will also take this opportunity. They haven't done any head coaching interviews in 16 years. So they'll get to meet some, you know, probably some younger people and some others that have been out there who come from different programs and different philosophies. They're one of the few teams that hasn't done any head coaching interviews in 16 years. So I don't think there's a big consensus league-wide. I've never seen it more all over the map around the league. You know, I think, 25 total guys have probably done at least one interview for a head coaching vacancy right now. So they could look at some of the popular names like, you know, Brian Daboll, Brian Flores, or they could look at some of the younger names that you're seeing if they want to think outside the box. But I definitely would expect Dennis Allen, Pete Carmichael, and Aaron Glenn to be among those who do get interviews.
Mike, we appreciate the time. We know it's busy right now. Thanks so much, and we'll all be dialed into that press conference coming up here in a little bit.
Thank you.
Mike Triplett, our ESPN Saints reporter there. And, Chris, thinking about the attractiveness of this Saints job now for any of those prospective candidates, and he mentioned Pete Carmichael's been there for a long time. I mean, hell, I was in rookie camp with them when Pete Carmichael has been there. That's how long he has been around Sean Payton and this system. He mentioned the love of Dennis Allen, but if you're an outside candidate, Chris, hell, if you're a quarterback like he mentioned with talking about Russell Wilson, the attractiveness of this job was certainly partially the roster, but the appeal was being paired with Sean Payton, a Hall of Fame head coach. And now with that gone here, I have a feeling you're going to have to really downgrade expectations as far as any of the big fish in the quarterback conversation.
No doubt. And that's probably why Mike was emphasizing the in-house candidates with Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael as the likely replacements for Sean Payton. Because let's face it, there are 9 vacancies now, and 8 of those teams are weeks into the process of doing their head coach search. So wherever whenever New Orleans gets this process started, they're going to be behind in terms of gathering intel and finding the very best candidate for what they want to do from a philosophical standpoint moving forward. So I can understand why they would try to keep most of the staff intact and roll with that at least for a year and find themselves on solid footing before they move out and try to look at seriously any candidates that would be outside of the New Orleans Saints family. But I don't know how attractive this job is in the overall landscape of this hiring cycle, Gojo. I completely disagree with Mike Triplett because the salary cap situation is still daunting. Like, they can restructure some contracts and that's all well and good, but you're still robbing Peter to pay Paul. And when you talk about a head coach, you recognize that in year one, especially without a quarterback, it's going to be hard to do high-level winning. So you're talking about year two, year three, trying to use that as your target date for when you're going to start getting this thing turned around. But at that point, you're going to have to start dealing with those salary cap ramifications from this offseason. So I don't know that it just makes it a situation where they can go out and find the very best candidate, just because it's a very grim situation in terms of what their cap is moving forward. I just think it's going to be a tough job to sell somebody on, especially if you want to try to retain a lot of those assistants that are already there. Most coaches want to bring in their own staff anyway. So if you're saying you got to hang on to the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and key assistants, why would I want to sign up for that on top of having to deal with the $70 million cap bill that this team has this offseason? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, who has ever jumped into a relationship where everything looks kind of good? You know, it's not someone you're totally in love with. The rest of the picture around the Saints team is pretty good, but not great. And then wanted to saddle yourself with somebody else's debt, because that's what you're walking into. You're going to have to go out here and make chicken salad out of chicken you know what for a little while when it comes to the way that you want to build your team. And so the in-house option, Chris, especially if any of the mentalities what Mike described, might be the only answer in this. If you really think the only way out is through right now and you have got to kind of stick with the core that you've assembled and don't want to totally blow this thing up. Because, Chris, if I'm an outside candidate coming into this and someone who wants any amount of time down there, you know you're tied to quarterback success and what you do in the immediacy. This is not a league that rewards patience. It's just not where we are anymore. And so the idea of going in there and having to bet your head coaching future on whatever's left and whatever you can cobble with Jameis Winston, or if you want to bring Teddy Bridgewater back, or if you even want to flirt with that weird Taysom Hill contract, the boy, oh boy, enjoy inheriting that one, whoever steps into this situation. Like, none of that seems enticing enough for someone, especially if you were getting ready to take maybe your first venture into being a head coach. That's not the stable ground you want to try and give yourself the best opportunity on.
Yeah, this is in the back half of the attractive jobs this offseason. Like, I would put them, you know, in that Minnesota Vikings, New York Giants, Miami Dolphins realm. Like, it's on the back half. Like, this is clearly not a top five coaching vacancy, even though it's a really solid organization. You don't have a quarterback, and you have some issues with your salary cap, and that's going to affect your talent base. I don't care how great a coach you are. If you don't have talented players, it's going to be hard to win consistently in this league, especially if you don't have a quarterback that's capable of elevating the play of everybody around him. And so the Saints are going to be in that purgatory for a while. As we've seen, it takes a while to be able to find that quarterback. And so I just don't know if you're a prospective candidate that's going to have options. You're probably not looking at the New Orleans Saints seriously. You're just not. Now, I will say this. The division over the course of the next 2 or 3 years is there to be had. There's nobody in that division that scares you. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers without Tom Brady, okay. The Carolina Panthers, the Atlanta Falcons. I honestly think that New Orleans, in terms of their division, does catch a break, because if you are able to get the coach and quarterback right, I think you could take off. You could make some noise. But again, that's a huge ask, and that's two elements that most NFL franchises have a hard time being able to figure out.
Yeah, the Saints have spent a long time with caviar problems, because you had what everyone was looking for, dominant Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they got to ride that tandem through some really great times. And we know Sean Payton and Drew Brees have one of the most unique situations, one of the most unique relationships with team and with city of any NFL player and coach in history, because of what they went through with Katrina and helping that city really heal through sports on the other side of all that. But it doesn't change that now you got to find out how the other half lives, and how you navigate that, to your point, is going to go a long way in figuring out who gets to call this division theirs in the coming years as all this change happens. So again, the news today, Sean Payton breaking moves by stepping down as the Saints head coach. Coming up next, we'll take a look at another Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, getting ready to mull over some of his future on his own. We'll do that after we hit this word from Indeed. Now, guys, running your business, it requires a lot of running around. From bookkeeping to client meetings, you run it all. So by the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit. What's next for the GOAT here on ESPN Radio?
This is ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection right in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty.
Chris Canty, by the way. I'm watching NBA TV, NBA Today in the studio, and I'm just distracted right now by how many buttons Richard Jefferson has unbuttoned while he's at the desk with Kendrick Perkins and J.J. Redick. I'm just saying, Gojo, we usually don't like calling out people that are coworkers, but I got to do it right now because it's getting pretty wild in that studio with Richard Jefferson sitting there. And right now, you know who I blame? I don't blame Richard Jefferson. I blame his teammate Kendrick Perkins for sitting next to him and allowing him to do that. Sometimes you got to protect your teammates from yourself, from themselves. And right now, Kendrick Perkins should be the one stepping in.
I'm with you, Chris. It's always about having teammates that are willing to be honest with you. You don't need yes men. And that's not who Kendrick Perkins is. Like, to quote Kendrick Perkins himself when he was beefing with Quavo, I'm going to address you like the numbers on the side of the house. Like, this is a guy who tells it like it is on a regular basis. So I'm shocked he hasn't really, I mean, mocked him into oblivion. This is all, by the way, Chris, this is Lewis Riddick's fault. Because Lewis Riddick, Monday Night Football analyst, normally very buttoned up, great suits, great dresser. But when you get him like coming over to radio when he turns into Sweet Lou and he unbuttons like two or three of those things, he walked so that Richard Jefferson could fly onto this set and all of a sudden starts getting too grown and sexy. That's what happened.
Yeah, here's the thing, Gojo. We're the big guys, so we know, like, we're not going to bring sexy back. Like, we know we're not. That's not our lane. We don't do that. But it's just like, and I can understand some of the smaller guys, you know, they want to flex, they want to put on the well-fitted garments and all of those different things. And I get it. Having a couple buttons undone, that's cool. But there's usually some overlap, so you don't see as much chest. But in this situation, I mean, why does Richard Jefferson even have a shirt on? Like, you can see all of his chest. I don't understand what he's doing. That's not sexy, bruh. It's not. It's not a good look. It's distracting to the audience. I'm trying to do a national radio show, and my eyes can't come off of the television because it looks so ridiculous how you're wearing your damn shirt. Cover up, Richard Jefferson. Cover
up. Seriously, you got people tuning into NBA today trying to figure out what's going to happen with Anthony Davis coming back, hopefully, for the Los Angeles Lakers tonight against the Nets. I want valuable information going into that show, and instead, I'm getting taco meat courtesy of Richard Jefferson's chest. It's not what anyone signed up for here. Thankfully, there are some shows on the air like us that keep this professional.
There you go.
Try and keep the eyes up here on all this. So, Richard Jefferson, too much sex. Too much sex. Got to dial it back a little bit on this one. Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Speaking of sexing things up, we'll hopefully take you guys live to Sean Payton's press conference coming up at 4 o'clock Eastern. As he is announced today, he is stepping down as the Saints head coach. We'll give you plenty more on that coming up. But speaking of a man who is usually shown off a little bit more of his body than need be here, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. heading into the offseason. And for the first time in a while, we have got him very publicly contemplating some of his future here. Tom Brady on the Let's Go podcast with Tom Brady, Larry Fitzgerald, and Jim Gray talked about his future and what would happen if he continues to play football next season. So, Chris, when you hear all this, as someone who played a long time in the NFL, and at some point you had to have this decision start to creep into your mind here, how do you go about starting to weigh that as you get to the twilight of your career?
Well, Gojo, my decision was made for me because the last game I played in, it ended in a major injury that I had to have that resulted in me having to have surgery after the season. Now, as far as Brady is concerned, I just can't see him stepping away from the game and going out the way he went out on Sunday afternoon to Matt Stafford and the L.A. Rams. I just don't see that. He's a top competitor. He's clearly still able to be a highly productive player. He had an MVP-caliber season. Save Aaron Rodgers, he would be named the MVP of 2021. So I don't see Tom Brady stepping away seemingly at the height of his powers and with a roster that's clearly able to contend at a championship level. I just don't. Now, this is also a player that said on the record that he wants to play until he's 45 years old. That's one more season. He's 44 right now. So I could absolutely see Tom Brady doing the daddy daycare thing for his wife Giselle for the next 2 or 3 months and then getting back to training and getting ready for the 2022 season and this being the official farewell tour for Tom Brady. I think that's how it ultimately ends with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into the season knowing that this is going to be Tom Brady's last year.
I'd agree, Chris. That seems like the easy game script for this one in Tom Brady. This has always been the plan. It would allow him and his family to all kind of prepare and say, all right, this has been my life's work. He's talked about what his family's put into this. For all of us to get to enjoy this last round with his kids. Because the one thing we always hear, and I remember my dad saying this to me when I was coming up, and I've certainly heard it from a number of other guys here. Once you start thinking about retirement, you're really already there. Like, this is a hard game to play in halfway, one way or the other. And for Tom Brady, he's had, I mean, Chris, you have been as big a fan of the man in the arena as anyone I know around here. How many times can we remember an NFL player contemplating his entire career and the journey he's been on while he's still playing. The stock answer always tends to be, I'll think about those things, the legacy stuff, when I'm all done with all this. Tom Brady had to sit down and think about everything that he has done, put his career in a time capsule almost before it was all done. I don't know what that does to someone mentally, even someone who's as locked in a competitor as Tom Brady. It's just such a unique circumstance with him.
It is, but if anybody in the NFL is capable of doing it, if somebody has the bandwidth to accomplish that, it would be Tom Brady. As far as his ability to be able to compartmentalize and then move things forward, I mean, think about what he went through with Deflategate and dealing with the fallout of that and how competitive the New England Patriots were in that following season. So, I mean, it's just one of those where you acknowledge how special this guy is in terms of his mental toughness. And you also recognize the kind of competitor he is. I wouldn't doubt for a second that Tom Brady is able to think through all of the different things in terms of the commitment to his family and the commitment to playing another season with Tampa and then landing on the decision being right for him to continue his career for at least one more season. Because you're right. It gives everybody, including NFL fans, people that don't have a rooting interest in the Bucs, but people that are amazed at what Tom Brady has been able to accomplish over 21 seasons, it gives them an opportunity to say a proper goodbye, because that's not what we got in the divisional round in their loss to the LA Rams. It wasn't a proper goodbye, and there's a lot of uncertainty on whether or not that was going to be his last game. I don't think Tom Brady goes out like that. I think it's much more in line with what we've seen from other legendary quarterbacks of recent, where they let it be known that this is going to be their last season, and then, you know, after that year concludes, they get the farewell that they seemingly deserve. So I think that that's most likely what's going to take place, what's going to happen with the Tampa Bay Bucs. I do find it interesting, though, Gojo, that the Bucs are doing their due diligence on free agent quarterbacks and quarterbacks that could potentially be available via trade. That is a little bit of a caveat or a little bit of something that makes you raise an eyebrow, because if they're doing that, then there seems like there could be a very real possibility that Brady does walk away. But my money is that Tom Brady stays. And you know, Gojo, if he does have that farewell tour season, it's probably a safe bet that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be in the Super Bowl again.
Probably a pretty safe bet on all that, Chris, because we know anything. Tom Brady has been Hollywood all the way through all this, and what more Hollywood ending? Chris, I could say this. I know for damn sure you're getting another documentary out of this. If we don't have this, like the full 98 Bulls last dance treatment on all this, Tom Brady is too smart a businessman not to load up for one more round of great advertisement deals that you can sell off the backs of this last tour, another documentary in all this, a whole host and heaping benefits for the TB12 method. This guy sees the bigger picture too much and is too savvy a businessman to let an opportunity like this pass by. But more than anything, happy for my teammate that he's going to get another Last Dance-style documentory for Tom Brady.
What are we going to call this one, though? We got Man in the Arena. What is this one going to be called?
Oh, man. I mean,
is it Man in the Family Room? What are we doing?
It's got potential here. Right? Again, listen, Chris Canty, he's always bringing ideas to the table. So, Tom, if you're out there listening, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, first and foremost. But also, think about Man in the Living Room. It's got a nice ring to it. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Coming up next, though, and we'll take your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, on where this New Orleans Saints job that will be vacated here coming up this afternoon ranks in the NFL openings. We have 9 openings now this NFL offseason. We'll get to plenty of that. And another quarterback who understands that it is not just him waiting on the decision about his career. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Candy and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll take you live to Sean Payton's press conference. The head coach of the New Orleans Saints announcing earlier today, per reports, that he'd be stepping down as the head coach. Just saw from Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, said Sean Payton met this afternoon for 35 minutes with the Saints football staff to let it know he was moving on. They told stories about the past, reflected on what they'd accomplished. Payton told the staff he has no current plans for the upcoming season. He has time to figure that out. So we'll hear from the man himself, Sean Payton, coming up in about 10 minutes as that press conference goes live. We'll look ahead to tonight's matchup as Anthony Davis gets set to return to the NBA. But, Chris, as we talk about Tom Brady and Sean Payton's futures, we can add another future Hall of Famer to that one. Aaron Rodgers certainly still in the mix. We heard him talking after the Packers lost this weekend, as well as earlier today. Aaron Rodgers joined the Pat McAfee Show for his usual Tuesday hit and talked about and was asked about, will there be a decision on his future soon? Don't think the irony of Aaron Rodgers making a decision with other people in mind is lost on anybody after this past year. But
you couldn't resist.
I couldn't help it, man. It was right there. Like, I know I'm not going to be the only one to make that joke because it's way too damn easy. So
yeah, I mean, it's right there. He put it on a tee for you. All you had to do was swing.
I am the low-hanging fruit champion of the world. But, Chris, we know in the football context of this, he is right, and for this organization here, we've talked about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers exploring their options in free agency potentially at that position. The Green Bay Packers have made it abundantly clear. Matt LaFleur, their head coach, came out and said he hasn't allowed himself to think about life without Aaron Rodgers. The organization and the heads of it, their president, their GM, were asked if he speaks for them, and they said that he does. So this organization seems pretty lined up with the fact that they would like Aaron Rodgers to come back. Chris, that part seems obvious. It is once again going to be us trying to figure out what this guy wants, and that's proven to be the hardest thing in sports to do right now.
Yeah, it has. But, Gojo, I'll say this. I can't imagine with the way that things ended and then the way that this season started with the Green Bay Packers essentially twisting Rodgers' arm, saying he's either going to play for them in 2021 or he's going to retire. I can't imagine that that leaves a good taste in Aaron Rodgers' mouth as we move into the offseason. And then given the cap constraints that this team is going to have to reckon with, because we've talked about this before, Green Bay has the second worst cap situation behind the New Orleans Saints in 2022. So there has to be some moves that are made in order to get this roster to a point where you would think it's capable of rivaling what they were able to march out there this season. And Gojo, with all the restructuring and with all the maneuvering that Brian Gutekunst could possibly do, I still don't see a path to being able to have a team from a talent standpoint that's as good next year as what they had this year. So I just don't know, man. It just doesn't feel like the stars are aligning for a return to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. I think he'll probably look elsewhere to see if there are greener pastures, and it doesn't necessarily feel like there are a lot of other teams out there that would present a clear path to the postseason and to compete for a championship. But one of the teams that we floated out there during the production meeting was the Indianapolis Colts.
Ooh, man.
And I think that's absolutely fascinating. I mean, we know that there's going to be a quarterback vacancy with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know that there's going to be one with the Denver Broncos, and those are two destinations where veteran quarterbacks have had a lot of success. But that Indy situation seems awfully interesting because Chris Ballard and Frank Wright are non-committal, Carson Wentz being their starter in 2022, and it seems like all the pieces are in place for Aaron Rodgers to be able to compete for a high level given the division that he'd be playing in.
Yeah, Chris, it satisfies all those because we talked about the AFC West with the Broncos and the difficulty there, the Steelers and some of the things, especially protection for Aaron Rodgers, that'd be difficult. Indianapolis solves a lot of those problems, and I think that's a situation we're going to have to closely monitor this offseason. Coming up next, we'll closely monitor Sean Payton's press conference with the Saints next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.